excited to introduce, you may not have met him before, he doesn't come up here a whole lot. His name is Colin Boyd, and he has been our summer intern. And let me tell you that he has blessed me, and he has blessed the kids and teens of this church. He's put in a lot of hours. He helps every week at Kids Church, every week at Youth. We've stayed late working together a lot. He's blessed me, and he's become a friend of mine, and I really appreciate him very much, and we're excited to hear him preach the word this morning. So welcome, Colin.
Good morning, church. I invite you to stand with me as we read God's word. We're reading today from the book of Luke in chapter 4. From verses 14 to 30, if you'd care to follow along in your Bible. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. So Thomas kind of gave you an explanation of sort of what I've been doing here at the church. I've had the pleasure of, you know, being here as the summer intern and getting to help out with kids and youth, and that has been an absolute blast. I am really looking forward to our VBS this week. It's like a fantastic way to end the year with a bang, I think. It's going to be great. So the reason why I'm actually leaving is because for the past 2 years, I've been a student at Summit Pacific College, a Bible college that we sort of are partnered with here at the church. And I'm studying pastoral theology, and I want to work in a church for a job, for my employment. I want to be a pastor. That's what I'm doing, and I'm going back to that into my third year, and I'm looking forward to that, but I've really enjoyed being on the island this summer. It has been fantastic to be on the island because it's actually my home. I'm from Nanaimo, so getting to be home and getting to intern here has been an absolute blast. I've been making the best of my precious time off. On those times when I'm not here at the church, I've been tried to be down at the beach or out in hikes in the woods and stuff like that. And early this month, I had the pleasure of taking a trip out to Tofino. And as a kid, I went to Tofino, you know, once a year or so. It's a long drive from Nanaimo to a little kid. And I expected garbage weather this year because every other time I've been to Tofino, it's always been rainy and drizzly. It's the wet coast of the island. It's been miserable there. I always had a good time going there as a kid, but it was just miserable. So I tend to do this in general. I keep my expectations low if I'm going on a day trip somewhere, on a vacation, because it's just safer that way to not be disappointed. And really, humans in general just do this. We like to keep our expectations low. We don't want to be too disappointed. because life in general kind of tells us that we're bound to be disappointed. And especially this past week and in this month, the news that's been coming out in the world is not hardly the most encouraging thing, because all that we read and see and experience can teach us that we shouldn't expect too much because we're just going to be disappointed. Saddening headlines, concerning weather reports, distant foreign wars and global pandemics seeming like they're just never ending. We just know that everything is broken and long for it to not be so. And we all want that sense of wholeness, that sense of things can be right, they can be better, that metaphorical sunny day in Tofino. But it's not always that way in our experience. And we do try and we strive towards this. Our art, our philosophy, our TV shows that we watch try and show us this better way. But really, I think that the passage that we read today actually shows us what happens when God meets us in our broken expectations and our unfulfilled hopes, and how God meets us there. Because the passage that we read today from Luke is Jesus breaking our broken expectations and refocusing them on the hope that God brings through his action. Because people in Jesus' time knew just as well as we do that their world was broken. Maybe they knew even better. Israel at the time of Jesus was under foreign occupation by people far away who brutally oppressed them, where standing up for what you wanted or for your rights literally got you crucified. And not only brutal revolts would be crushed, but everything from tax collection to the way you were governed locally to the average worker on the street would have felt the brokenness. With failed revolts in recent memory at Jesus' time, only a generation before, there had been massive uprisings which seemed to bring some light and then got just snuffed out like a candle. It seemed like the best hope you could have would be to become a literal bandit in the countryside, or to just hope that maybe things are as good as they can get. Because they were just bruised and battered by their circumstances and their histories, and it wasn't great. And yet, at Jesus' time, just as at our time, there still was that deep hope and expectation and desire that God would show up in the middle of his people's brokenness, that he would show up and set things right, finally at last. They longed for the stories and the promises that they grew up hearing at school, in the home, in the synagogue, to come alive in their reality. And Jesus' proclamation at Nazareth, what he did in this sermon of his in his hometown, shows us that our circumstances and ideals of what God can do get refocused in Jesus. And there's two big ideas here. And the first big idea is that God meets us in these failed hopes. Because when Jesus reads from this scroll, when he reads from Isaiah, he is announcing a huge change if it comes true. Because that part at the end there about the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's favor is not just some sunny day where God likes you more. The year of the Lord's favor is a historical reference to the idea of the Jubilee. The historical idea that every 50 years, the entire land of Israel was to experience radical physical freedom. This is why the crowd just gets so excited when Jesus says that this is happening, because they know what Jesus should be. They know what this should be. They live this hope. Every 50 years on the Jubilee, slaves were to go free, debts were to be erased, all land was to be returned to the original owners who owned it. And to a people who weren't in possession of their own land, who were made slaves to a foreign nation, and who suffered brutal debts at the hands of tax collectors, this is absolutely radical. But the Jubilee never was historically put into effect in Israel. They never experienced this radical vision of life. Like, in the Bible, we never hear it recorded. In secular history, we never hear it recorded. It went unfulfilled, and the people of Jesus' time would have known that it was unfulfilled. But when Jesus announces that this is happening, they get excited, because if this happens, it would mean crazy freedom physically. it's basically what happened to me at Tofino. I knew that there is the abstract idea of a sunny day exists. I know about it. I hoped for it when I was going, even though I didn't think that it would come. And yet when I went, it actually was very bright and very sunny. It was a gorgeous day on the beach. And Jesus isn't just saying that there's a gorgeous day on the beach for them. He's saying that their entire circumstances of brokenness are being turned around. He's not saying that it's just good for you. He's saying that it's good for the whole country. But there's a second big idea as well, and it's much more surprising to me. And that's that God exceeds us in our broken expectations. Because Jesus continues preaching. He doesn't just say that their hopes are fulfilled. He says that their expectations as a whole are broken. The people want him to show his healing to them. They say, "Physician, heal yourself." Or so he says they will say. He knows that they want to experience it right then and there. But Jesus tells them and shows them that there's more going on in this story than what they expected. That it's not just what the small thing that they had hoped, it's so much greater. And the two examples that Jesus gives are really interesting because Elijah and Elisha were prophets at a time where Israel was just as broken as his time, just as broken as our world is now. And they were sent to people who were not from Israel, not even people living necessarily within Israel itself. And it shows that the mission of God isn't just for the insiders. That it's not just the people who already have been hoping for freedom, who know the stories, who know what should be. God's heart is for absolutely everyone, no matter whether they know to long for him or not. And this is why it's disorienting for the people who listen to Jesus, because they think that this is a special thing for themselves that they get to experience. And he tells them that it's maybe even so big that he won't actually go to them and he'll just bypass them and head straight on. It's disorienting, and it's why they take him up to the cliff to try and kill him. They don't know what's going on. They're just completely disoriented. And our expectations are shaped by a world and culture that is so flawed, and our expectations can just be so wrong that when God's hope of something bigger hits us, it can be like going from a dark room to outside and you're just blinded by the light. The light is a good thing. We need it. But it just hurts. And even when our hopes are met, our circumstances can still be so broken that we need to be freed from the self-centered view of only our hopes being fulfilled and brought into the reality that God wants to exceed that and bring it to everyone. And I think that if God truly does meet us in our hopes and exceed us in our expectations like Jesus proclaims here, if we think that this is a reality that we can experience today just as much as the people of Jesus' time did, and I believe that truly, then I think the biggest thing we have to consider as a church is what our mission is as we live our lives. And the thing that occurs to me is that we need to realize that the outsiders in our world who don't know the hope of Jesus, we need to go to them. Who do you know, whether it's the outsiders within the church who know the hope and need to see that fulfilled in their life, or whether it's the outsiders outside the church who don't even know what that hope is and need it brought to them. And I think of estranged family who are far away because of circumstances which happened long ago, whether it's poor in our city or in the world who are far away because their circumstances just means that they focus on every day to day because that's all that can happen. Whether it's the chronically lonely in this season of COVID who are far away, or whether it's the physically injured who think that their circumstances of physical brokenness and physical injury just cannot be fixed realistically. But since Jesus meets our hopes and exceeds our expectations, we have to realize that there's actually no part of our lives that Jesus doesn't want to bring restoration to, that he doesn't want to bring this jubilee to. And I think that this actually can affect us today as well. And it's possible that you feel like you're an outsider today, even though you're here at the church hearing this good news. And I want you to know that Jesus is inviting you in because he promises healing and transformation and freedom. In this passage, jubilee is a personal freedom and a corporate freedom. And maybe you'd say that there's just that one part of you that's too distant, that you brought everything else to God, but that one part of you, you just can't. What, maybe you've tried over and over and over, but it just seems too far. And I want to tell you today that Jesus wants to bring freedom and wholeness equally to that part of you as to the rest of you. But Jesus doesn't let us just get away with spiritualizing this idea of freedom. It's not just an inner peace. It's absolutely clear here that the year of the Lord's favor is physical and practical. It was an economic thing just as much as a spiritual thing. And Jesus didn't lead a revolution like some of these people listening expected, but he did found a church. And the book of Acts testifies to the incredible messiness and the fantastic miracle that the church was within Jesus' society. And I think that living out of resistance to oppression of the times while staying true to the loving example of Jesus shows us that we also can reimagine what the church looks like in light of this good news. Because if we take the good news of hopes met and expectations exceeded, we will be transformed. Our mission will get refocused on what God has done and will done, not on ourselves. Jesus says that he's empowered by the Spirit when he goes and does this. He's not only doing this because of what something happening then, he's looking backwards and forwards in this. It means that we'll operate at our full potential because of this empowerment from God, because we know that God has already worked and is working. And right now, as I finish, I'd invite the band up, because we're going to sing. And we're going to sing, and as we sing, I invite you to pray and reflect on what parts of your life, you may have kept distant from God that God wants to bring freedom to. But also invite you, where is God already working in your life that you are to partner with him? Maybe it's in this church, maybe it's opportunities that you have, maybe it's gifts you have, but I trust that God is working in your life and has done things, and he wants to continue them.